Okay, so I think most of us are here. We have received apologies from Ben and Alejandra. Unfortunately, they cannot join us today, but we have a lot of things to do, and we can assign them the hardest of the tasks, apparently. Okay, so can we start with the reviewed and updated guideline? It's about the nominations process to the ICON board. Yes, Stephen. Well, Ben volunteered anyway. So, may I ask Bart and Stephen to walk us through the most important changes? Well, because one of the things that... Okay. Somebody is already muted. Yes, please.
Stephen, you want to go ahead?
I was afraid you'd ask me to do that. Hang on just a second. Basically, this guideline just...
Stephen, sorry. Stephen, can you do the magic thing you knew what to do to make it does not sound not be so faint? A little bit louder, please.
All right, is that better?
A little bit.
Thank you.
I can always dial in if nobody can hear me. Basically, what this guideline revision does is what the CCNSO procedures are for handling the nominations to board seats 11 and 12 to the new post-transition bylaws. And it recognizes, as we do currently, that although at the end of the day, the nomination of people to sit in seats 11 and 12 is a function of the CCNSO Council, CCNSO Council actually puts this out to the membership for a vote via nomination and election process. And further, this guideline, so the guideline describes that process in some detail. It also sets out the timeline, which is rather lengthy, given that we need to coordinate the election process with the possibility of a runoff election within the membership before the board, before council gets around to having a nominee to put in whatever seat is open, with the idea being that we want a board member selected some months prior to the actual seating of that board member at the AGM, which is usually in the October-November time period, so that that person can be basically a shadow board member and be up to speed when they actually assume the seat at the end of the AGM. There are no big surprises in here that I'm aware of. If there are, I may have written it in and not realized it, but it's all pretty cut and dry. Bart, do you have anything more to say on this?
No, not really. The only thing is, as you say, if you would go to page number, page number two, it has some placeholders in there with respect to once the full board or an individual board member gets removed. And that's that. Yeah?
Go ahead, Bart.
So that's one. There is only, I would say, there is only one principal question for this group, and which makes it rather important whether, the timeline allows for, as Stephen pointed out, timely election or selection of a board member. Now, the question is, what is wise in this case? Do we want to do this in parallel, or do you want to do this in parallel with the council elections, which would allow and provide a lot of certainty for the new board member, or do you want to do it, say, post the council elections, so leading up to the 1st of May? That's a fundamental question, and I think we've discussed this, or this group discussed it some time ago. So there are you can do it in parallel with the council election, or do it post council election. And the basic thinking is that the say members election takes place after the Hyderabad meeting, so after the annual meeting of ICANN, or after the spring meeting, to allow for interviewing of the candidates or candidates. So that's the basic question, effectively. And the rest, I think, say, as Stephen said, we've adjusted the language to the new bylaws. The basic structure and everything else is the same as discussed some time ago by this group.
Art, I noodled around and was now trying to put together what the prospective timeline would be for a council election to choose the member at the AGM. And I, based on what I was looking at and writing about, I had this process beginning in October with the establishment of the election timeline by the council and appointment of the election manager and the call for nomination. Being done in the October-November timeframe with closure of the nomination period sometime in December, then the preparation of the candidate statements in January for presentation at the ICANN meeting A, which is usually in March, followed by the election after the March meeting.
The timeline allows for it. So it depends on when you start. You can also start, say, at the early September, and then you lead up to Hyderabad, in this case, so the November meeting. And that's the choice.
Oh.
Well, I have a...
Go ahead, Katrina.
Stephen wants to ask something about the...
Stephen?
Yes.
Okay. It's me now. No, I'm just thinking from a practical perspective. I agree that timeline does allow that. But now, if we re-elect somebody who's already on the board, it's okay to have it so late in the process. But if we, for example, elect somebody new, don't they need some time to... I don't know, get a grasp of it, what they need to do, some briefings and so on and so on.
Katrina, this is Bart. Normally what you see, and I think the best example was Becky, so although not elected and selected by the CCNSO, she attended the May board retreat, and normally what you see with new board members, they get in about half a year before they take their seat on the board, and all board members take their seat at the annual general meeting, so that's the end October, early November meeting. So This timeline, as it's spelled out and as Stephen said, would allow for a new board member to attend the May board meeting. And so that's half a year in advance.
Okay, thanks. And I see David has his hand up patiently. Okay, David.
Well, thank you, Katrina. It's David McCauley for the transcript. I was going to comment on the document generally, but on the timeline, I think what Bart just said about having sufficient time for a new board member to take a part in the May board retreat is very, very important. So I would opt for the longer timeline to make sure that that's that's possible. But on the document itself, I just wanted to say a couple things. One is compliments to the drafters, because I thought it was very, very good. I just had one or two things to say. One is, with respect to the nomenclature of the article, the bylaw articles and sections, I think I can just send a short list, but I think they're not really accurate. I mean, they don't track the bylaw number format. It's a small thing. It's like a typo, and I have a couple of instances where maybe I could just suggest some changes. It's not a big deal. The other thing I was going to say is another typo is nomination manager. I was just going to say it should be capitalized in all instances. And then finally, I was going to ask a question. When the when the document says the secretariat will publish something, and it does it in a number of paragraphs like 3.2, it goes on for a number of them, should we insert the word promptly? It's so you can see my comments are not big, but they're in the nature of sort of dusting things up. But I thought the document was very, very good, and the placeholders make sense. I mean, I don't really have anything to say about them. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, David. Yeah, well, if we have some...
Katrina, Stephen has a comment.
If we agree on the... No, he did not object, I think. But, okay, Stephen.
No, thank you, David, for those comments. I don't have any problems with anything you said there, and it certainly can be reworked to incorporate that if you'll send that along.
Well, I think if we agree on the content, then perhaps we can just give it to, well, let's say, to David to do this translation into plain English and, you know, just polishing the things that he just mentioned. David?
Well, Katrina, I actually think it's in very good plain English, but what I'll do is send to Bart and Stephen these little typo, in the nature of typo comments.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And when we have it last revisions, then an edit, we can send it to the council, and we'll discuss it the next council meeting on 1st September, and adopt it. Okay, so now let's move to a completely new guideline. It's about the selection of our representative to the Empowered Community Administration. Kim, may I ask you to change the document? So this is absolutely new because, this is... something that we need to have in place as soon as possible so that we know the procedure and how we're going to appoint a member to our representative to the administration. Well, here we have our usual structure, and then, according to the new bylaws, by default, the rep on EC administration is the chair. But it can be some other designated person, and here we discuss how the CCNSO Council selects or agrees on who is going to be and what happens if we remove our appointed representative and some basic roles and responsibilities of this representative. This is a relatively short guideline, and I hope it covers most of the aspects. I incorporated the revision suggested by David, so this is, I think this should be the last, the latest version. So any comments on that one, Bart, anything you'd like to add to this?
No, not from my end. I think it's very clear. Maybe just one thing. This is the kickoff of everything around the Empowered Community. There will be a lot of work coming the way of the GSC as a result of the Empowered Community and what is around, in particularly all kinds of processes and procedures, how the mechanisms that will be introduced can be used by the CCTLD community and the CCNSO. So this is just the most basic administrative guideline. There will be a lot more coming. So an advice, if you can't sleep, have a look at the empowered community section in the new bylaws. You'll be surprised.
Yeah, well, surprises, always have a lot of surprises. Yeah, and actually one of the surprises here is that I noticed, this is my bad, 2.1 is supposed to be 3. I will correct it a little bit later. Oh, something's wrong with the numbering there. But David, please.
Thank you, Katrina, and thanks to Bart for that insight. I've recently had an illness and did try reading some of these for some extra sleep, but it was helpful, so thank you. Katrina, I had neglected last time. Just let me make one or two minor comments. And one is with respect to 2.4 vacancy, and it reads, in the event of the death, resignation, or removal of the CCNSO representative. I thought it might be useful to add some words to say, in the event of the death, resignation, or removal, or the inability or unwillingness to further serve by the CCNSO representative. In other words, if somebody simply becomes inactive without telling us what's going on.
David.
Yes.
David, this is this one you suggested, and I really hope that it is in there, or the unwillingness or inability of that representative
to.
Or it must be moved.
If you would scroll down, you can see it, vacancy in the event of death, resignation, removal, or the unwillingness or inability. So it's captured in this section.
Yeah,
this,
okay. Yeah. Then I missed it, so my apologies.
This was the wording you proposed. Maybe you expected it to be after removal.
Okay.
I thought it...
No, that's fine. That was
okay.
It. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Any other comments? Because if no, we can assign it perhaps to Ben for... translating into plain English, and then guideline. Yes.
If I understand correctly, Ben is on holidays.
Yes, but he asked us to volunteer him for some work.
Yes, yeah, okay. We need to ensure that this guideline could or is around to be approved around the 1st of September. That was, because then you got this in place, because I think, say, if it's the 1st of September, it could be later, but it needs to be approved by the council, and if everything goes according to the major plan, say, as of the 1st of October, the empowered community is in place, so by that time, you will need to have either you, which will be the fallback position, or somebody else in place. That would almost, if you do some backtracking, that would almost need, we need to have the guideline in place by the 1st of September. So if Ben is, I don't know how long he's going to be on holidays, but that is going to be difficult.
Probably Stephen can clarify. Stephen?
Yeah, my understanding, Bart, from email exchange with Ben late last week, that he is going to be heading back to Windhoek this week sometime.
Okay, yeah, then it's a no-brainer, but it shows some a bit of the urgency.
Yeah. Well, we could propose to him that he do this work, and we'll see if he can meet, come back.
Meet
the guideline. He's just retired, so he needs something to do.
Yeah.
Exactly, yes. Okay, so that's good. We're in a pretty good shape with these two guidelines. So what are the next steps? Bart, do you have any clarity around that?
I think we need, and that's something we probably need to do, say, if you look at these two guidelines, that's finalizing them and send them to council. I think there is one more guideline that needs to be in place around the 1st of September. That's around the mechanism to select and appoint members for a specific review. So that's, for example, the ATRT reviews. And the reason why it needs to be in place, there will be or there is a review pending. That's the Security, Stability and Resiliency Review, which is one of the four from the Affirmation of Commitments. And I'm not sure whether the call for volunteers already went out, but say they need to be appointed, the members on that SSR review need to be appointed according to the new mechanism. And the new mechanism is more or less defined in the bylaws, the new bylaws, and the CCNSO needs to implement stuff, how it wants to do say send out a call for volunteers, etc. So that's, I would say, the most urgent one now, and we do have until the end of September with that one. And then I think, yeah, we need to review again and start mapping what's next.
Okay, thank you, Bart. I think we've started something around these specific review things. There are some things are not entirely clear to me. For example, where these requirements for those who want to apply, are they published? Is it something that has to be defined for each specific review by ICANN or what? Do you have any...
At least that's my understanding. ICANN will send out a call for volunteers. So there is a general mechanism in place around, say, the role of the SOs and AC, and specifically for the chairs of the SOs and ACs. And then for each of the specific reviews, there is some additional language which is focusing at ICANN, and which includes, I would say, the call for volunteers. And therefore the requirement.
Where we'll find so many volunteers? We're running out of them, actually. Okay. We'll start working on that guideline. Thanks to Martin for sending the latest developments with RZERC requirements. Can we finalize the RZERC charter? This is another charter that, or not charter, sorry, guideline. This is another thing that we need to have, I think, also by 1st of September.
Martin, can you say, are the guide? Oh, Martin has his hand up.
Yep. Martin, go ahead. Martin.
I didn't check as yet, but at least what I understood is that the guidelines or the description, the function description, hasn't changed. It's only been there has been on the list, and so they've changed a few things. Someone else put I think it was Alan Greenberg, put in a description, and there was a sort of excerpt from the official text, the RZERC text. So the text will not change, and I think what he did was about the same as what the description that we use in our guideline, but I haven't checked this yet. So I will check that if you want me to. and see if, then I have to have the latest text. Do you have that available for me?
The ASA guidelines.
Yes. If I have that, I can check with the final sort of, it's not a definition, it's just some sort of description of what it could be. And then I'll map that and make sure that it's that's not very different, or maybe we could even enhance our text a bit still, but not much.
Yeah, okay. Not sure I can do it. Okay, not neither today nor tomorrow, but I'll try to do it this week and send you the latest version of the guidelines.
We can do that as well.
Okay, if you have it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good, because I'm not in my office at the moment. Okay, so it would be really great to have some clarity around this guideline too. So, okay, I think that's more or less what we had to discuss today. So we have this ASA guideline for Martin. Then we have David. We're going to read and edit the board selection guideline. We assigned to Ben this the second one, this one, about the appointment of business or rep to EC administration. And Bart and I will start working on specific reviews documents or guidelines. Hopefully we will send it out as soon as possible. Anything else?
No, not from my end.
Okay. So it certainly does sound like a plan. hopefully. Well, actually, we're moving forward pretty good. I was afraid that we were lagging behind, but at this point, I think we're pretty good. Of course, there are some things that need to be coordinated with other communities. And actually, Bart, maybe you have any news from Sam, news from NSO or other communities? Are they working on their documents?
I don't. So what I'll do is say now this one is final. The the one on the board selection, etc. I will send them to Sam to check against the new bylaws as well. So we definite on that front before we can submit them. And maybe once Ben is done, I'll do that with the other one as well. Katrina, maybe it's interesting for this group to think about or just inform them about the CSC selection and how it went, because this group drafted the guideline.
Yes. Good point, Bart. At some point I wanted to mention it, but forgot. Yeah, so... as you know, we've had the first round of elections to the standing committee, and it was run according to the guideline we developed, we proposed, we received five applications, and the councillors selected two of them. These two people are appointed. So this is Byron Holland from CIRA, from Canada, and Jay Daly from .NZ. So we have two great candidates selected, I think that all the five candidates were great, and it was pretty difficult to select the two, only two of them. But hopefully they will apply to ARZARC and other positions. We will have open. Hopefully we will have at least some very strong candidates for other positions as well. But I see Stephen wants to say something. Stephen?
Thank you. If I could go back to Bart Strugan's comment regarding the guidelines for board elections. Can we, in fact, start finding...
So you're breaking up, Stephen.
Can we finalize this document without putting in the placeholders?
Without the placeholders?
Yeah. We need.
Yeah, of course we could, but...
Okay.
But I think if you... Then we need to... That depends a bit on when you want to send it to council. Because I think once we start digging into the placeholder, it's getting very complicated. And I feel a little bit, I feel uncomfortable in looking at it because I don't really thoroughly understand the mechanisms involved there. Maybe you do, but we could try it, but say with these placeholders in there, we know we have to revisit it at one point, but at least we got a basis to move forward with the board selection. If council would prefer to do it and starting that process around September. That was one of the...
As council member, I'm happy to go ahead and adopt this with the placeholders
as they currently exist. I do think that some thought is going to have to be given to filling in the...
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Going to involve discussions with the GNSL, I believe, because I think we probably should come up with a joint approach as to how they would fill their seat and we would fill our seats in the event of a nuclear option. But that can wait. I agree with you there. That's all.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Another question to David about this IRP. Have you had a chance to look into that? Because I remember last time you volunteered to do some digging into that part.
Katrina, hi, it's David McCauley. I've been digging around. I'm on the IRP implementation team, and we're now on weekly calls. But I have to refresh my memory because I'm having a little bit of a hard time remembering exactly what it was I promised to do, so I apologize for that. I will go back and double-check the record and get back to you within the next day or so.
Okay, thank you. No, this is just something we have to start thinking about the guideline around that. Apparently, we will need to have something.
Katrina. And I should mention that when in the earlier discussion about appointments for review teams, I believe that the IRP will come out with a review similar to the ATRT review every 5 years or so. But we are. Want to put in place some steps that the community will retain control over the panel, and it'll be through the review process. But there will be some other things, and I'll get some information to you about that. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Otherwise, I think we've covered everything we were planning for today, unless somebody else wants to say something. Which apparently is not the case. So thank you very much for joining the call, and thank you very much for working hard on all these documents. I think we're in a good pace, and we're in a very good position at this moment, much better than we were half a year ago, let's say. Okay, so thank you very much. I think we're really moving greatly forward. So thank you very much, and I'll see you in 2 weeks, and clearly on the mailing list in between the calls. So thank you very much, and bye-bye.
Okay, bye all.